You're going to find someone who loves you and needs you.
Right here on 2SER 107.3.
We love listeners.
Olive and Scout, it's been a while since you were guests of the program here on the Band Next Door. I think the last time you're on the program was actually when you had put out your very first couple of singles. This was tracks kind of like Moon, Crowd, and Better. Looking back at those early songs, what you're doing at the moment now seems a lot more refined. Do you think that you've both narrowed down the process of writing music, or have you just gotten better at doing it?
I would say both, especially for those early SoundCloud songs. Jeez, like if you were there when we were recording that, it was literally like us in like a living room, or at one point a record store. I had one weird Zoom mic in the middle of the room, and we're like, and we just play drums. That was it. Like, everything was recorded like that.
Do you miss those overly DIY kind of days?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I miss the feeling of excitement that came with it. I think we always wanted to level up in that way. Not to mention, the fact is that lo-fi, like, hate to break it to everyone, but lo-fi is a scam. Like, lo-fi, the technology is too good. You can't make lo-fi unless you try. Or unless you have absolutely no fucking idea what you're doing. So, yeah, no, don't quite miss it.
Okay. What about you, Scout?
Yeah, I don't miss it. I just remember being super overwhelmed and highly aware of everything I didn't know.
Okay. So those first couple of singles, you know, again, they're a bit more removed from what you're doing at the moment. Do you feel like when you were starting out, you had to really oversaturate your aesthetic?
What do you mean by aesthetic? Clear that up for me.
What kind of band you wanted to be, or what kind of band you wanted to be known as?
Honestly, at that time, I think we had no idea what band we wanted to. I think it was later on, like a year later, that we kind of started getting a bit more of an aesthetic together.
Okay.
But at that time, it was real. I don't even think we had an Instagram account or anything like that.
Technically, the Egoism Instagram started off as your personal Instagram.
It did. And then I just switched it because I was like, I could start a new one. Or I could just switch this one that already has like 400 followers on it. Like, may as well just give a kickstart.
Do you even consider those first couple of tunes to be part of the Egoism canon?
Yeah, they're like prequels.
Well, they're not Egoism, they're Ego.
Oh, yes, very true.
They're our pseudonym, they're our pre-moniker.
So where do you both consider the proper commencements of your sounds as a duo or as a band in general?
I would say those three songs, if you take all of our pre-Sorry material, like pre our kind of like debut single material, I would say that they're probably our favorite songs because we really did do it ourselves, and not even do it ourselves in like a purely physical way, but rather just like we made all the calls. Everything on those three songs was like our decision. We were like, yep, we're going to put the guitar in here and it's going to have like shitloads of reverb on it. And I think they're actually better songs for that. Like, I listen back to them, I'm like, would I have done it the same now? Absolutely not. Is it completely valid, the decisions we were making when we were like teenagers? Yes, like 100%. Those songs were like created in the moment, and I think that's really valuable.
When you are writing music, I know that Scout for Happy, that whole song came out pretty easily for you. So when it comes for both of you as songwriters, if a song is a struggle to write or to create, do you essentially toss it aside? How do you roll with the punches when it comes to writing music?
I mean, I think that's one of the good things about having Olive. Olive is a lot more persistent than I am. I can bring a lot of energy and ideas and sort of excitement short term, mm-hmm. But you're right, that is something that I've always struggled with, is finishing things. And I think having someone else, no, true, like I said, that Happy came out really easily, but it wasn't finished.
Okay.
No,
like the last 10% took 90% of the effort.
I will say that is kind of our dynamic. Like, Scout's somewhat the beginner and I'm somewhat the finisher. Our songwriting kind of, and like sessions and stuff like that, are kind of based around this dynamic of when we're sitting in the room together, Scout is going to be the most vocal. She's going to be the most like, no, this has to happen, this has to happen, and this has to happen. And I kind of deal with it, even though I'm a massive control freak, I deal with it because I know that I'm going to go home and I'm going to like do all this work on all this fiddling on my like computer and alone and like playing guitar on my own. And Scout's going to be like, I wrote a couple words. And then I'll show her that album and she'll be like, great, it's pretty much 50-50 now. So we kind of like come together in that way. It's very reflective of our personalities as well.
Do you consider songs to be better when there's less going on in the music? Like, rather than, you know, layering God knows how many guitars or, you know, trying to do something that's so abstract that most people won't even pick up it's there. Have you simplified what you do as musicians or just as players in general?
Very recently, I've actually been saying yes. But when I say very recently, I mean like after we finished the On Our Minds EP.
Okay.
I guess I'm going to take it in a production sense. A lot of the time, I'm like, why put two guitars playing the same thing when you can just have one? Pretty much everything we've done up until this point has been somewhat double tracked. Like everything, we double track everything. And now with these new songs that we're writing, I am a little bit more inclined to trust the process after the song has been done, like the mixing and stuff like that, being like, I can give you one guitar track and you're going to have to make that sound like it's all over your head, you know?
What about even when it comes to just writing general chord progressions or melodies? Are you both at the moment in a stripped back fashion of putting general structures together, or are you willing to again go out and do really arty takes on arpeggios or XYZ?
I think we started off, both Olive and I, coming from a background as teenagers of being kind of pretentious music listeners.
Very much
so. You
know,
like the music that I used to listen to as a teenager, I now just am like, oh, it's just so boring.
To put that into context, it's like when we were like 16, we'd bond over like some concept album that is talking about the Gettysburg Address, like set to a sampled orchestra, all this stuff like that. And now it's like, today I listened to Friday by Rebecca Black and I was like, you know what? This is not actually that bad.
Like, I remember I wrote a song when I was 15. I remember what the song sounded like. And I think back and I'm like, yeah, that was nice. But then I decided to make it 3/4 and put it in a pentatonic scale. So I thought it was like normie or some shit, you know, like I needed to be more interesting. And I was listening to too much bloody Fleet Foxes and not even Fleet Foxes, like more
Fleet Foxes is cool, Scout.
Yeah, more pretentious shit, like just stupid. And then now it's not like that at all. Like, I don't think about that. I'm like, oh, this kind of sounds like that, cool. Oh, this makes me feel good. I think it's more like, yeah, we're way less pretentious about it now.
I love the way you both have a very interesting vocal play going on, you know, very harmonious to listen to. Do you write your music knowing that you'll have to kind of like combine your vocals over the top?
Depends. We went to Kalbarra recently and we were like, let's try writing songs in a new way. Wanted it to be super collaborative from the beginning. So we'd have an idea and we were like, all right, the rest of it we're just doing together. So that's a cool riff. Okay, let's sing ideas and whatever we like from that voice recording we're gonna make into the demo, you know? And then it was like, okay, and then we'll write lyrics and we'll come up with it, like a concept, and then from there we'll start doing like little bits of production.
I would say that a lot of the kind of the harmony interplay and stuff like that usually comes a little bit later when we're trying to play it live. Most of the time we will play a song live before we record it, and so we're basically like, we want to have all these vocal parts, we want to have all these harmonies in there. Who's going to sing it? I guess Scout, you'll have to sing this harmony. How are we going to figure, oh well, this harmony doesn't quite work for your vocal range. And then we end up being like, you know what, that actually has way more personality, that harmony that you came up when we were playing it live has way more personality than the one that I initially recorded when I was just kind of doing demos on my own or whatever. So that's kind of usually how they come up, quite naturally, like a reflection of us playing it together. But I would actually say that we've gotten quite good at putting that into the recorded process now. We know our process well enough to be able to do that in real time and know each other's voices enough to be like, this will work for your voice if you do this kind of harmony thing or this kind of background part or you take this section. It's not exactly as much of a fluke anymore. Yeah.
So all I ever want is something to combat all of you. I'm run down and I owe you nothing, but I'm not over you.
You're doing two shows to launch this album, one on the 18th of December, which is fortunately at the moment sold out, but you've announced a second show for the On Your Mind CD EP launch. You're a band that's always been very flexible with how you perform live. I've seen you in many different versions, different band members, different setups. I believe at the moment, Scout, you're playing bass, if I'm not mistaken. Have you had to work at being able to move these kind of things around, or is it just, again, just going with the motion and just having to grin and bear it?
Look, to be honest, I mean, it's been a learning curve over the years. Up until I think we released Sorry 2018, we were still trying to be a band with band members, but it's really hard to do that when it was always us, me and Olive, doing everything, you know? Like, there's only so much that other people feel a bit like, oh, well, you know, if they don't really have any stake in it after a while. So I think we were really lucky in that we're resilient and we're really young when we started. So we're so enthusiastic to just keep going and trying new things. And we're always flexible to try that.
I will also say, thank God for modern technology. You know, let's be real. A band is a tool for getting sounds out on stage. In the situation we have now, we're playing as a three-piece, so we've changed it up again. And we've worked with a really great live producer who's like basically remapped our whole live setup, and now it's like we're just playing the easiest things possible and everything else is going to track. So okay. We've just got this like machine on stage just playing all these different little things in like this perfect way. I was initially very skeptical of that because always had this like, in my opinion, quite immature and unrealistic idea that every sound has to be created by a human on stage. I think it took working with like a professional to kind of realize that no, like if you do it well, it blends seamlessly. Like it actually just purely aids the performance to the point where like the audience doesn't care. Like the audience doesn't care that this is obviously coming from a little rack mount pre-recorded thing.
It's about the emotion of watching something, thinking about when you've seen professional touring international acts coming and what their performances were like and what you saw there and being like, oh wait, no, it did work there. It just didn't work when I've seen it like one person singing by themselves with their tracks that haven't been mixed properly on like
exactly
sound system. That's what I'm thinking of.
It's like plastic surgery. If you do a really good job, you don't even realize.
Well, I think the person who gets it, but everyone else might not.
Well, you know, same thing.